It was after midnight when my phone rang. A long, breathy void, echoing with the thunder and lightning outside, was all I could hear on the other end. "Hello?" I repeated. "What have you done, Jeremy? What have you done?" There was no hello, no introduction, no context, just the voice. This was Iraq, and everything in our life was already falling apart. Our family was under attack, our kids were being threatened, and the grassroots organization we had started in order to end war was on the brink of extinction. I had no idea who I was talking to, and no idea what I'd done. "Who is this?" I said. I was tentative. I could not afford to be indignant. We were under siege enough already, and this call fit right in with everything else going on. I knew better than to overreact before knowing what I was up against. "You don't remember me?" he asked. A bolt of fear shot through me. Now the voice was offended. But I wasn't being evasive. I just didn't remember. My former right-hand man, a local Iraqi guy named Kochar, had been laying traps against me with high-ranking government security officials and in the local bazaar, saying I had been conning poor Iraqis out of their money in the name of charity. One of his lies said I had duped unsuspecting villagers into paying for their children to have expensive surgeries they didn't need. The rap sheet of lawsuits and accusations against us was getting long. Harvesting organs for the Israelis, trafficking terrorists out of Iraq, and working for the CIA. A country emerging from decades of dictatorship is nothing if not extremely paranoid and conspiratorial. Rumors get traction fast. Reputations are ruined in an instant. And once a story is out there, it can be impossible to put the genie back in the bottle. I was getting calls from friends warning me that my name and my likeness were being invoked in local barbershops and chai houses. The tall, skinny American with the shaved head was exploiting poor children and their families who were already vulnerable from war. Then I got calls like this, warning me to watch my back. I did not remember Ali, the guy on the other end of the menacing midnight call. Or more accurately, I did not remember which Ali. There were many. Ali's I'd met over tea, Ali's I'd visited in villages, Ali's I'd had in my home. Which Ali was this Ali? "Little Mohammed's dad," he said. "Do you remember me now?" "Oh, I did." "Why have you stolen my wife's honor?" he said. He never raised his voice.